Graduate Teacher Learning Series podcast channel. I'm Ben and I will be hosting this session. In this podcast series, we will be talking to graduate teachers, mentors, and experts about a variety of different topics that relate to each edition's framing question. We will also get the graduates and mentors to share some reflections on their practices that may assist you in yours. In each podcast, the graduates and mentors will be asked the same questions, so you can hear the different perspectives on each topic. Okay, so sit back and relax, and let's get into this edition of the Graduate Teacher Learning Series podcast, talking to a graduate teacher. Hi, thanks for being part of this podcast. Can you please introduce yourself and tell us a little about where you are working and some of your experiences?
So my name is Brittany McGinley. I'm a graduate teacher and I work at Dorset Primary in the 5-6 year level. But after graduation, I moved to London for 2 years and I taught in South London. My first year I had year fives and then my second year I had year fours. And then after my visa came to an end, I came back to Australia and started doing CRT work, where I got to go to a range of different schools and start to experience the education system in Australia. And then the fun process of applying for jobs came around and I was lucky enough to get a job at Dorset Primary School.
In this first section of the podcast, our discussion will focus on the framing questions for this edition. What does learning look like in your classroom?
I guess when we're talking about learning in my classroom, it looks different in a lot of different elements and in different subjects. So if we were looking at where I'm giving input about a new topic, I like to do a lot of turn and talk, so turning and talking to your partner, but then I use the lollipop method. To touch on the lollipop method, it was introduced to me in the UK. It's a range of formative assessment. So when you pose a question to students, without giving them an opportunity to talk, they're sort of stumped when you ask them to share their answers, and that's why you get the same kids with their hands up. So by allowing them a chance to process and talk out their answers with their peers, allows them to feel confident to share their answers with the class. So the lollipop method is every student's name is on an icy pole stick. After you've posed the question and given the students time to discuss their answers, you pull out a name from the lollipop sticks, and that's the student who can share their answer. They might like to share what their partner's original idea and what they discussed, or they might have a completely different idea that they didn't have an opportunity to share with their partner. And then you pull another one out. The key is you don't put the student's name back in. You just keep on pulling them out to allow students to share their opinion, and then at the end of that session, if you can see that a lot of students have a lot of ideas they want to keep sharing, then you sort of put the lollipop sticks down and still give them the opportunity to share their answers, but it just allows that important conversation between students and time to process their answers. So therefore, we don't have the same students with their hands up the whole time. It allows everyone to have student voice in the classroom. So if it's a reading input lesson, that's maybe what you would see in my classroom. I'm lucky enough to work at a hands-on math school. So in our math lessons, there's a lot of group work, a lot of loud noises, a lot of communication, hands-on equipment, small group work. I guess it all depends which subject we're looking at to what you're going to see in my classroom.
What does learning sound like in your classroom?
So in different subjects, there's a different voice level. When there's discussion, I want it to be noisy. I want them to be excited about their learning. I want them to be bouncing off each other, especially in a subject like maths where it's a yes or no answer. There needs to be discussion as it's going. But when it's more of a writing lesson, the discussion happens early in the lesson. And then when it comes to that 20 minutes of solid writing, it's quiet, allowing them to focus their ideas.
What does learning feel like in your classroom?
I guess at the start of the year and coming to Dorset, my mentor Laura Rowlands really told me about making the classroom feel like a family. And it's a phrase I hadn't really heard before. So to me, making our classroom feel as a family is accepting that we have bad days and sometimes we are cranky, even as a teacher or as students, and it's working together to have a positive outcome out of the day. So I think feels like it needs to be, your classroom needs to be a, well, my classroom, sorry, is a caring and nurturing environment, not just from me, but from students to students. So you walk in, and if I have a student particularly has started off with a bad day, I'm not necessarily the first one who's gone to check in with them, because I haven't been able to get there first as one of the students' friend, best friend, or maybe just somebody they're sitting next to is already checking in with them, making sure that they're okay. So I guess if you were to be a student in my class, you would feel as if you're part of a family in our four walls.
What did your team do to set up classroom structures and procedures?
So I guess with me, I was quite fortunate because I had done some CRT work at Dorset Primary School. So I was quite lucky in the aspect that I knew the way the day ran and had already been shown the plans and how a daily timetable looks at Dorset, being different at every school. So I already had that idea of what the day-to-day structure looked like. But when I got the role, my mentor called me, offering me the position. And then 2 days later, I had a tour of the school, which allowed me to see the school in a different eyes instead of seeing it as a CRT, as an employee of the school. So Laura took me through a tour of the school and then sat me down and went through our policies and answered a few questions that I had before we'd even started our planning day. Because when you get a job, you have about 5,000 ideas going through your mind, and it's really hard to sort of narrow those to the important ones. So being able to have that one-to-one time with Laura and just talk about this year, like this year we have a very busy year with 5-6 camp production, graduation, all these things. Well, what do I need to do to start getting ready? I want to make sure that I'm playing a part of my team. And Laura allowed me to take a step back and worry about what I needed to worry about to start off with. And then we talked about in that meeting about the first few weeks is about building relationship, building that sense of family within the classroom. And then we went forward and had a whole year level planning day where my team is incredible. They are so welcoming. I face my back of my classroom. I have Laura Rollins and Brett Speed, and they're constantly checking in, making sure I'm right, having that discussion, because let's face it, sometimes things just don't go right. And you need to discuss it with people about, this is what I did, how did you go with that lesson? And my team is fantastic about going through things that didn't go so well and giving me feedback, or also encouraging me when I've done something that they think was outstanding.
What could you do to improve the look, sound and feel of learning in your classroom?
I guess for me is when to improve the look, sound and feel relates to me as a teacher is when I'm stressed or it's came to that time of the class where I've got 5 minutes and the bell's about to go and they haven't packed up, taking a step back and not raising my voice to get the next task done, taking a step back and saying, all right, guys, we're going to have to pause. We're going to have to do this quietly. I feel as sometimes you see that bell about to go and you've ran over time and then your voice raises, which then allows the student's voice to raise. So I guess for me to improve, I need to lower my voice when there's when I'm running over time, because they're engaged with their learning and that's okay. It's all right to go over time sometimes, to take that step back and be like, okay, we've gone over time, that's fine, we're just going to pack up now and move on. I feel as if at the moment that I'm still getting a little bit flustered when it's coming to the closure of a lesson and I haven't got everything done I want to get done. So I raise my voice being like, guys, hurry up, we need to get this done, we need to get this done, instead of just taking a step back and being like, it's okay, it's not been done.
In the second part of this podcast, our guests will share general reflections on their teaching practice to give you some tips that might help you in your first few years of teaching. What advice do you have for graduate teachers?
Don't jump ahead. I know it sounds cliche, just live in the moment. Do what you need to do at that time and everything else will fall in place.
What are your time management tips?
Time management. You will have about 500 things thrown at you with things that you need to get done. Probably the best thing that I've done this year to improve my time management is having a notebook on my desk that says to do and just writing a list of everything I need to do. You will get bombarded with emails. As soon as you read an email, if there's an action you need to do, write it down. Even if it's as simple as put your compost bin outside the classroom. If you write it down, you know you'll do it. And then you can just cross them off. And it's a pretty good feeling when you have a list of like 30 things to do and you're like, cross that one off, cross that one off. So put the little ones off. It makes you feel like you're getting through everything. But ask, when it comes to time management, write your list down, tick everything off as you go through. But if you're bombarded with things, speak to somebody and ask them for help. Say, I've got all this to do. Where do I need to go next? So I guess when we're talking about time management as well, we're also talking about our personal lives and what we do outside of work. I play AFL for a local team. And when I first got the job, I had a lot to do. And I think my main focus was on my to-do list and what I needed to do. And I think you need to realise that if you're going home and everything you're thinking about is work, that is your whole life. And it's important to have that break for your mental health and focus on something else. And I guess now being 6 weeks in, I've been able to balance what I need to do for work as a matter of urgency and being able to have that time to go to footy training. And I guess with time you'll start to realise when things can be put on hold and wait to the next morning and that laminating probably doesn't need to be done over going to footy training.
In a new career, it can sometimes be tricky to ask for help. In your opinion, who should graduates turn to?
Turn to the people that your mentors or staff members that have been appointed to help you and ask them for help. I remember asking Grant about 500 questions my first week and I kept on saying, I'm really sorry to ask you this question. I'm sorry to ask you this question. He was like, keep asking, because if you don't ask the question, you're not going to know the answer and it's going to disadvantage you and you're going to become more stressed. So ask the questions. I know I'm quite fortunate to have a really good relationship with my team. But after I asked Grant about 4,000 questions, he then came up to me and started being like, Brittany, have you read this part of the plan? How are you feeling like this? And it allows you to build that relationship and trust within your team. So don't be scared to ask help from anyone. If that means I know that I've seen the assistant principal about doing running records. I've asked him, we had a staff meeting on it and then we had another small phase meeting about running records. And then I asked him, do you mind doing one with my student in front of me? So don't be afraid to go ask for support, because at the end of the day, everyone in the school environment, in school community, is here to help you.
Give us your words of wisdom.
I guess as a graduate, something that my team has drilled into me, that you're a graduate, you're not expected to know everything, and we're here to support you. If you make a mistake, that's fine. I'm sure if you head into the staff room at break time, there'll be an experienced teacher in there that's been teaching for 10 years and that will be talking about the mistakes that they've made in their lesson. It happens. We make mistakes and it's just how we adjust them the next time to improve our own teaching that's going to make you a good teacher. Just don't give up. I know sometimes I look at a lesson being like, I explained that a way that my students couldn't understand it. And I'm quite fortunate. I have Laura and Brett beside me, but I've had a lesson and been like, I explained it like this, as simple as reading a six-digit number. So just ask people for help, I guess, would be my main words of advice. It sounds something you've been heard on placement 1,000 times, but definitely do it when you are out there.
And that's it for the Graduate Teacher Learning Series podcast. Thank you to our guests for sharing their experiences, and thank you for listening. We'll see you next time. Bye for now.